Welcome again to the Christian Service Center for another insightful teaching of God's Word. Blessings.
Glory be to you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As I continue going before the Lord and looking at this subject of walking with God's presence and or walking in God's presence, I had a sensing this morning during the time of intercession that I was having that there's a couple passages that I want to look at first. And if it leads into the message, then it leads into the message. If I'm just going to talk about these passages, then I'll just talk about these passages. But I wrote down a couple passages that I want us to look at, and especially one from 2 Chronicles, where Solomon finishes building the temple. And the priests bring in the ark. And something happens. There's an acknowledgement of God's presence himself that occurs. So let's just go ahead and go over here to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And Lord, I am so appreciative even right now of your manifest presence, of the assurance of yourself to all of us, Lord. To each heart and each person that even needs a special sensing of your presence right now, Lord. So I would just like to acknowledge your presence. I would like to acknowledge, Lord, that you promise that your presence is with us always. And at times, Lord, that we need to look at passages like this to look at the times where you manifestly came in. And we thank you, Father, that those who need a manifest touch of yourself, that you are here right now even to do that. Thank you, Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. So all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things which his father David had dedicated. The silver and the gold and all the furnishings, and put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Verse 3. Therefore, all the men of Israel assembled together with the king at the feast, which was in the seventh month, or we would call the Feast of Tabernacles. So all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. Verse 6, also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. And there's another place, it talks like about over 10,000, if not more than that, of sacrifices that they were offering to the Lord. Then the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, or we would call the Holy of Holies. Under the wings of the cherubim, for the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. Verse 11, and it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping their divisions. And the Levites, who were singing, who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their songs, and their brethren stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps. And with 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Can you just get a magic, just all these different instruments? You know, when it comes to worshiping God, at times we're just too silent. You know, again, you just imagine the exuberance and the fullness and the total expression of themselves and all these kind of instruments and all these different individuals worshiping and praising God. It's just absolutely exciting, and we should be that excited in our worship with the Lord also. is just absolutely beautiful. Each of us should have a song, a new song. It can be an old song, but new today. Do you know that's something that the Lord brings up to you that you just find yourself, I think I heard Karen one time say, and belting it out. Just letting it go out. Indeed, it came to pass, verse 13, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanks and thanking the Lord. When they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals, instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. Can we just stop right now and just acknowledge that God is good? That he is a good, good Father to us. And we have tasted of his goodness, and we know of his goodness, for his mercy endures forever. His grace is upon us. His loving kindness is to each and every one of us. Can we acknowledge his goodness and his grace and his mercy and his loving kindness and his forgiveness and his acceptance right now? We love you so much, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can read passages like this and just see where they just welcomed you and acknowledged you, Lord. And then it goes on here to say that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. And if I may add, whose house you are. Whose house you are. We should have regular times where each of us experience the very presence of God. We know he's with us. Scripture says he's with us. I can go and read passages where it says that he's with us. But there are times that you know his tangible presence. There are times when you expect him to come and him to minister and him to be there and to fill you in an area that needs to be filled, or to confirm, you know, in and upon your life something that needs to be confirmed, or just for the love of God that you find yourself worshiping. And he just says, wow, I really like that, and just blesses you with his presence. See, if you never have those times, you'll never experience those times. If you never set aside times like that, you'll never have times of him, you sensing the very fullness of himself within your life. As that one passage says in Psalm 46, that we're to be still. We're to be still and know, to be intimately acquainted that he is God and he is present, and to acknowledge his presence and to talk to him. Sometimes when we worship the Lord, we have a tendency, it's good to lift our hands. The word scripture says we're to lift our hands. And for some people, they need to be trained in lifting their hands. But we have to also know that at times, like when I look around during worship and I see people looking like this, but you know what? At times I just close my eyes and I just lower my head and I just say, you are here right now. You are here right now, Lord God. And I just extend my hands as a child does to his father. And just expecting you, Lord God, to lift us to where you're at, to reveal to us where you are, Lord God. As an expectant child expects their parent to lift them up when hands are extended, we expect your presence to be there when our arms are extended to you, and you to draw near to us as we are drawing near to you, Lord God. And Lord, as they could not stand by reason, Lord God, of your glory, that at times we find ourselves undone in your presence. And sometimes that undoneness can take various kinds of expressions. At times I find myself weeping before the Lord. At times I find myself so exuberant, I'm just twirling. At times I just find myself just laid out on the carpet with my arms just like this on the carpet, like going, wow, you're here, Lord. It's just so beautiful because you're so beautiful. And we may find at times we find ourselves confessing things because we may not realize that there's something there, that when we find ourselves in worship before the Lord in one area of our life, there's another area of our life that we're not able to worship in, and that area gets touched. And we just find ourselves during that time of adoration and worship just releasing that or confessing that before the Lord and just letting it go, and then he fills that area. It's just absolutely beautiful when we learn to enter into this kind of worship and this kind of praise and this kind of adoration. you know, going along with this, if we could just go over here to, well, you know what? Wait a second here. Where is this, Lord God? Okay, yes, let's go over here to Isaiah chapter 6, and let's just see what happened with Isaiah when King Uzziah died. Sometimes when there's somebody important in our lives or somebody that we look up to, and in this case it was the king, Lord, it was the king, a king of Israel that had died. And at times when we have either a person in leadership or a person that we look up to, even national figures, when they die, or when a person looks to somebody and that person dies, and like, what am I going to do now, or what's going to happen now as a result of this person passing? But it should bring us to a place, as it did here, that God is always who God is, and God wants to reveal himself, that no matter what transpires or no matter what happens within our lives or somebody that we may look up to or hold in high esteem, and they are no longer there, that there should be a fresh revelation of who God is. And it says right here in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. There have been times in all of our lives where we've had some kind of loss, when we've looked to somebody and they died. Recently, as a matter of fact, it was this morning, there's a gospel tract that we give out here, we've given out for years. There are five of the tracts, but the three main ones that we gave out was According to God's Word. And they were very lengthy and wordy tracts that I'd give out, especially if somebody was interested in the new birth or salvation. It was According to God's Word, the new birth. And then there was According to God's Word, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And According to God's Word, healing. And I always carried a lot of these tracts with us. And over the years, they were no longer available because the man, Joseph Frano, who wrote them, Pastor Joseph Frano of New Life Church in Ohio, he retired from ministry a number of years ago, and he died in 2016, that they no longer produce those tracts. So we have them here compiled in a booklet back there, According to God's Word, and we have the five different areas of those tracts. And it was just always amazing that when you give a person some literature, and that they sat down like, wow, I always wanted to know what this new birth was, being born again was. And at times when we have people that have gone before us, and all we have left is maybe a remembrance of them, or maybe something that they wrote, but we're also appreciative because they have gone from here to where the one they served is. And when they go from here to the one who they served is, that there should be a greater revelation of the one whom they served revealed to us at that time. Their journey here is done, but not the ministry of Jesus Christ. And at times we remember them, and we're at times we're sorrowful. We do go at times through a time of mourning, like when I read about Joseph Frano this morning, Pastor Joseph Frano, and I was thinking back, from the 80s all the way forward up to this time, and all the different people that I'd given those tracts out to. And people who got an understanding of what the new birth was, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or believing God for healing within their lives. Because it was basically a teaching track. And just thanking God for humble servants like him and Pastor Bill and this ministry here and other ministries that have ministered to your life, that even though that person is no longer here, there's a truth that they've imparted into you that continues to live, and your eyes are now focused more on Jesus than they were before. They've entered into their reward. And so when it says here that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting. And we have to have an understanding that no matter who precedes us and the position that they held, Jesus is still the one who sits as Lord of Lords and as King of Kings over all the affairs, over all people and all nations, what is ever taking place here on this planet. And we've got to get that picture of whoever it is, or whatever it is that we may be facing individually, in our families, or as a nation, there is one who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and his name is Jesus Christ. Even right now, Melissa, there's something transpiring in her life. She fell. Pam fell. But Lord, the Lord is still seated at the right hand of the Father, and His promises are still true, and we still grab hold of that word, even when we find ourselves at times in a broken state. Even if it is a bone here and a bone there, He knows how to put us back together again. Doctors can put Him in place, but the Lord still does something wonderfully. My bones have been broken, oh my goodness, I'll just say 8 or 9 different times. And it's just amazing how if they're just put in the right position, how they just begin to mend. Because remember that passage in Exodus when it says, I am the Lord your healer? Okay, that the Hebrew word is Rapha. And one of the definitions of Rapha is mend by stitching. And, you know, if you've ever seen how a bone mends, if you ever watched it, you know, if you ever see the time lapse of it, you can go online and watch it. And when two bones are broken, they're next to each other, but it's like it sends out a little, it sends out this little thing, connecting it here and connecting it there. It's just amazing how it just begins developing this little, I don't know, you could call it like a ladder in development. And it just begins, you know, building on it until it touches that other bone and makes a connection. And touches that other place and makes a connection and makes a connection and makes a connection. He mends or heals by stitching. Oh, sometimes it's a suture. You know, they can go ahead and sew us up. I got a couple scars right here where I've been sewed up. But the doctors can sew it up, but God has so miraculously made this body that it will mend on it. They can put it together, but the body still has to mend. And God created this wonderful body that we have to mend or to be healed. So if people were ever to ask us, is it God's will to heal? It should be a resounding yes and amen. Because He created our bodies to heal. If I get cut, the body wants to heal. If the bone gets broken, it's wanting to mend and reunite to the part that got separated. So God made our bodies to heal. So it is God's will for people's lives. Spirit, soul, and body to be healed. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and His glory filled the temple. We need to get a fresh picture of the risen Jesus. And you get a fresh picture that same glory of Jesus now resides within inside of us. If I would just give you a passage on this, over here in John 17, I just absolutely love John 17, Jesus' priestly prayer before entering in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when He prays for all of us who are going to believe on Him in John 17, I believe that's verse 20. But He makes a statement about His glory. He makes a statement about His honor. He makes a statement about His recognition. He makes a statement about His presence. He makes a statement about a majesty of Himself that He bestows upon us. Verse 24 says, Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am. How many of you know that there are things that Jesus is occupied with even right now? And He wants us to know what He's occupied with right now. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 7 that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Have You done what I have done over the years? Lord, teach me to intercede as You intercede. Show me, Lord God, how You intercede. Show me the ones that You're interceding for. How is it that You even pray on my behalf? It says You ever live to make intercession for us and that You're going to save us to the uttermost. What does that sound like? What is that like? Because I want my Jesus, if He's praying this way and that He's my head and I'm part of the body, then I need to learn to pray that way also. So we can ask for Him to teach us to intercede as He intercedes and to pray as He prays. And in many different places in the New Testament, He does tell us in this manner pray, which is the beginning, which is the doorway into a divine connection with Him. It goes on here to say in verse 24, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." He said he wants us what? To behold his glory. Lord, where's that passage here? Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord God. When we see the life of ministry, when we see the ministry of Jesus, I believe it's in John chapter 1, after verse 14, where it says the word became flesh and dwelt among us, there's passages right after that where we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of God. And we know that there is a way that we read through the Gospels and we see the glory of God displayed in the words of Jesus, in the character of Jesus, in the ministry of Jesus, how he treated people, how he loved people, how he cared for people. We see the glory of God or the glory of Jesus in his parables and how he wants us to understand things of the kingdom of God. There's a glory or a manifestation that he wants us to know, that he wants us to behold, that he wants us to look to, because in the verse, there's a verse above this where it says that he has given it to us. Look at verse 22. "And the glory which you have given me, I have given them. The splendor, the beauty, the magnificence, the recognition, the honor that you have given me, I have given them." You know how powerful that is? That he has given us of his splendor, of his majesty, of his presence, of his heavenliness while we're here on this earth. So we can partake of it and also be displayers of it. Years ago, I remember a teaching that Pastor Bill taught concerning the nightlight and the searchlight. And most of you know I don't really care for this little light of mine. I mean, I like the song. I mean, it's a nice children's song, but I'd rather be this searchlight of mine. I don't know if you remember in the 60s and 70s when there used to be a sale in a town that we lived in, or a carnival or a circus would come to town, and they would have these searchlights, you know, that would just shine in the sky, and especially when you'd see it on a cloud, and they'd put some kind of symbol on it, you could actually see the symbol of what was going on. Wow! I mean, it just got your attention. You'd look up and like, wow, what's going on over there? And so, yes, a nightlight is nice. It's nice. But we have to ask ourselves a question. Do we want to be a 2-watt light or a 10,000-watt light? Huh? Now, for those that we're ministering to, we may need to be a nightlight with a dimmer, and it just need a little bit, and then slowly turn up that brightness of that truth. But nonetheless, light is light. It says that a football field, 3 or 4 football fields, that you can get a candle at one end of a football field. I think it was 5. I saw a picture of 5 football fields. And they say if you had a distance or a field of 5 football fields, you could be at the end of 5 football fields and still see that light shining, that candlelight shining. I believe it could be even seen further than that. And so it does make a difference. But if you put another person next to that and another person next to that, or another person next to that, or at some of the recent Christian concerts, when everybody, they don't use candles anymore, but they use phones. And when people turn on their flashlight of their phone, and they lift up that phone, when one person turns it on and another person turns it on, the entire arena gets lit up by people's smartphones. You see, when one light gets together with another light, we all can make a lot more of an impact or a lot more of a difference when we all collectively become as one. And Jesus is saying that as I am one with the Father, I want you to become that, experience that same oneness that I enjoy with the Father, that you would also enjoy, but you would collectively enjoy this oneness and also have my glory, my splendor, my beauty, my magnificence, my honor, the recognition of myself. And this is what you need to grab right now. The recognition of myself, Jesus is saying, that I've released upon you. How many of you have ever been with someone? Or maybe it's even been spoken of you. I remember one time when a person said, you know, when I come into this house, it's not like other homes or other houses I visit. There's a peace in this place. You see, there's a glory that people recognize. There's a presence that people recognize. Or I love talking with you. You know, and you may have a person that you love talking with because the way that the person speaks or the way that the person is just sets you at peace because there's a glory present there. There's the very presence of Jesus there. The Prince of Peace is present. And when the Prince of Peace is present and you are present in his peace, and then it leaves you or goes from you to that person who comes into your immediate presence. We should have times like this. We should be experiencing this. We should know that we are a people of peace, because we are one with the Prince of Peace, and that peace of God actually flows from us to those that we come in contact with, especially when we're sensitive to the Lord by the Holy Spirit, speaking the words that the person needs to hear that brings peace to their soul. And he invites us to come in. He invites us to come in with our burdens, with all the things that are seemingly to weigh us down, so he can give us rest for our souls. And so he's wanting us to, you know, come into this understanding of a greater revelation of his constant presence with us. And that presence is with us. And that presence actually is, you know, others can, like I said, sense the presence of the Lord. But if you are a person that doesn't believe that, yes, you know that God is present because the word says so. And like I said earlier, you can go to many passages that say it. But if you don't believe that his immediate presence is with you, and you have an understanding that, yes, he is with me, and I know that his immediate presence is with me, that I have an unction, as it says in 1 John chapter 2, I have an unction from the Holy One. I have an anointing of God upon my life. And that anointing teaches me concerning all things, as the scripture says. And Jesus said in a couple places that there'll be times that we will be brought before men and women and people in various degrees of leadership. And it says that we are not to take account of what we will say at that time. But the same self, Holy Spirit, will give us the words that we need to speak and minister at the moment that it needs to be said. It says in that very hour, at that very time that is needed, that there'll just be an unction that's there and a release that will just come to us, and those words will flow from our lips. The right words will flow. The anointed words will flow. The penetrating words will flow. The love of God will flow. The presence and the glory of God will flow upon those words when we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And at times we get nervous at times when we find ourselves in a time of speaking. Or if we find ourselves being instant in season and out of season, we find ourselves instant in a time of ministry. Sometimes a quick fear can grab hold of you, like, whoa, wait a second here. Lord, you're the one who has set this up. You're the one who knows the right words to say. Over 10 years ago, I purchased some exercise equipment. They were adjustable dumbbells, and I've had them for over 10 years. And I actually remember the guy that I purchased them from. Well, I no longer need those, and I cleaned them up the other day, and there's this app that you can download called Let Go. And you can take a couple pictures of it, put a price on it, and put it out there immediately. Well, I put it out there with an adjustable bench also, with a really good price. Get fit now for the new year and beyond. You know, of course, I put something, you know, in there to get people's attention. And all of a sudden, the ding, the ding, the ding, the ding. You have all these little bells start ringing because people are interested. I'm like, whoa. And so I started communicating with some of them. But there's this one that was really persistent. And I just, there's something about this that I've got to let this guy, not the guy from Pinellas Park, not the guy from Wesley Chapel, but this guy from Tampa, I've got to respond to. So I responded to this guy from Tampa. I'll be there in 25 minutes. And he was here with his wife for 25 minutes, you know, in 25 minutes. And he gave me exactly, he didn't, you know, at first, you know, I gave a price, let's say $250. I gave the price of $250. He goes, $150? And I just looked at him. He goes, okay, $250. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking at him. I said, I know you. You're my brother in the Lord. Matter of fact, I have purchased equipment from you in the past. He goes, yeah, I am. I used to be an agnostic, and I came to know the Lord. I met him in the early 2000s. Remember when the economy took a dive for the first time? He lost his job, And people had this fitness equipment that he, all of a sudden, this fitness equipment started coming to him. He was just a young believer in the Lord at that time. And he would clean it up and sell it, clean it up and sell it. Well, he's been doing that since 2006 to the present time. That's his business. He gets equipment, he cleans it up, and he sells it. And he just turns it around and turns it around and turns it around. Because how many of you have purchased something? A treadmill. How many have had a treadmill that became a clothes dryer? Or you stacked your boxes on top of. Or a person is saying, oh, you got a treadmill. Yeah. Just don't ask me how much I use it, though. Not like Ray. Ray uses his treadmill. He burns treadmills out. And I said, you know, I've purchased things from you in the past. And he goes, yeah. And I said, your name is Chuck, and you live on Richards. I said, matter of fact, the house that you were living in at that time, because I remember going in, there was weights everywhere, weights that he was fixing. There was machines that he had tore apart. I said, it was your dad's house. No, it was my mom's house, and my mom passed away. I was living with her when the economy tanked. Long story short, he bought the equipment, and that night it just wouldn't leave. I was like, Lord, why is this thing still hitting me? He said, because what you bought 10 years ago is what you resold back to him. That's the exact piece of equipment. So I immediately, you know, just I sent him an email like, oh, this is so cool. That which I bought from you for 10 years and used for 10 years and cleaned it all up, you repurchased back to resell again. Isn't that just wonderful? And it's really cool. He remarried, and his wife is going to retire this year. He's about my age. In his 60s, and his wife is going to retire this year. She's from the Philippines. And he says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to sell all that we have, and we're going to go to the Philippines and be missionaries. I'm just like, whoa! And I just thought that was so cool. Out of everybody, I had to pick that one to sell it to, because God just wanted to rekindle something and just have a little bit of fellowship there and to remember a time 10 years prior of when I first met him. Wow, isn't that pretty cool? And so God just, he wants to use us. See, we don't know the encouragement that we can be to somebody, even when putting something that we just think we're just selling. And the brief encounter that we can have with someone, him encouraging me and I encouraging him. Very brief, very short, but nonetheless, Jesus is still seated on the throne, and we can have times of Jesus' encounters with other people. Amen? And so we need to know that the Lord is, he does these things. And there is a glory of the Lord upon my life. There is a glory of the Lord that Jesus has bestowed upon your life, so that when you come in contact with people, there's a recognition. If it's with believers, there's a connection. If it's with an unbeliever, they know there's something different about you. There is some, you know, when light hits darkness, it's not always well. It's not always well. When you share, how many of you have had people in your life, co-workers, family members, and they know you're a Christian? You may have had a good rapport with them before BC, before Christ. After Jesus, it's like you have the plague at times. Oh, yeah, we'll have this person over for Thanksgiving, and that person, no, let's just skip them this year. And next year, well, maybe we can tolerate them the third year. Or as Christine and I, and early in our walk with the Lord, we went down to visit our folks and family during, we were just recently baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the first Christmas, I mean, we go down to visit family in Homestead, Florida, and we're showing the right foot of fellowship out of the house. And it was just amazing during that time. That was actually the second year that we had been here, because Christine's sister Deanna had graduated from high school, and she moved up here with her good friend Pat Kenny, who we know as Pat Gilby. Okay, they went to high school together. And it just happened to be at this Christmas season that, a long story short, what happened, somebody got upset and put their fist through the door because of a comment that was said about their sexual desire, and they weren't that orientation, but they got accused of being this orientation. And so the person got upset and put his fist through the door. I began to minister and share the love of God, that God can take that anger out of your heart, that God can help you with this situation. Yes, you are not this orientation. You're not a homosexual, But at times there were things that a person may do or talk like that you may think that they're effeminate. And so they make jokes about you. And so I started ministering to the person, and someone heard me in the house ministering like that to the person and kicked us out. And so we get kicked out of the house, and we're walking down the driveway, and here come John and Pat walking down the street at the exact same time in Homestead, Florida, not here in this area, but in Homestead, Florida. And Christine and I are rejoicing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We got to share your word, and you said we'd be persecuted. And John goes, "What's going on there, brother?" And I'm like, "Hey, is that you, John? What are you doing down here in Homestead? I mean, it's 6 hours from here." And so Mark and Christine and John and Pat, they were just dating at that time. We go rejoicing down the Lord during this Christmas season. Get kicked out of one place and get reunited with believers in Jesus right at that same instant. What's the likelihood of that occurring, and especially if two other people that are attending this church spending that time down there 6 hours from here? It was just absolutely beautiful. So we get the right boot of fellowship from another, and we get the accepting fellowship of two others. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus is still Lord, and he's still sitting on his throne in his temple. And he still has the last say and the final say over all things. I'm just relating a couple of these instances. I'm sure every one of you have an instance in your life where something like this has occurred, where light shines because you love somebody, because you care for somebody, and you're sharing that love and you're sharing that light because you know their eternal destiny. You know exactly where they're going to end up if they don't know Jesus Christ. And at times we got to get over ourselves and open up our mouths and lovingly share the truth, even if it's, you know, at first giving them some literature or maybe sending a text or an email if you don't feel that you can say the words yet. But then you look for the opportunity to share those words. I remember my half-brother Rick living in Northern California. He worked at a gold mine. He worked for a company that mined gold, and he was the refiner. He worked there. He poured the bricks. Yeah. He says, you know, every night when people leave, everybody is checked. You know, your pockets are checked, your socks are checked, just to make sure nobody's stealing any gold, right? But most of it was extracted from the dirt. It wasn't like nuggets. There was this chemical process that went through to extract the gold and to get enough of it to pour a brick. And I remember that I sent a witness card to him one Christmas. How many of you know that sometimes the best kind of Christmas cards are witness cards? Amen. To look for a witness, to share about why Jesus came and the purpose of Jesus coming. There are very tactful cards out there, even e-cards that you can send, to share your faith with somebody who needs to come to faith, to come to saving faith. And it was really cool. He didn't know that I got saved. I didn't know that he was saved. I sent him a witness card. Guess what came in the mail? It wasn't the same one, but he sent me a witness card. Hallelujah! That's just so exciting, you know, when those kind of God-cidences happen. Can you just imagine? I'm looking for a card to send my brother Rick, and he's out looking for a card, and the Spirit of God sends us, you know, it's almost like send him a witness card of the witness you both already have. It was just absolutely beautiful. And so we need to be listening to the Lord, because this glory of God's upon us, and in the glory of God, or in the presence of God, that we are told, Jesus went on to say before this in John 14 and in John 16, that there's a very presence with us that he spoke about would be, that was with the disciples, that would be in the disciples, and that's the Holy Spirit. And we have to rely on the presence of the Holy Spirit within our life. You have to realize that you do have a comforter. You do have someone that is standing with you. But can you imagine having the very presence of God, the very person of God with you, but never ever acknowledging the one that is with you? To having a person, it's almost like having a person that is with you all the time, 24 hours a day, and that person is there, but there's no recognition of that person there. How many times do we make recognition, or do we realize that the very presence of God, the very person of God is with us? Like if you had a physical person chatting you 24 hours a day, would you not make conversation with that person? You know, that person's there. You'd find yourself just making conversation with that person. But wonder, you know, and at times we are so deficit in our conversation or prayer to God about things. I believe that if we were more of a people of prayer or conversing with God, you'd begin sensing His presence more within your life. I've been finding this, you know, just more so. I'm speaking from a place of purposely pursuing the presence of God, purposely talking with Him, and putting myself in a place of expectation of the answer coming back. And realizing, Lord, I know You're here. I know You're with me right now. And I know that there doesn't need to be immediate delay of a response. So I just expect that You're going to speak and reveal something to me, even at this moment right now. That's how I've been talking to the Lord. I've been just looking up all these different praise songs. I put one on Facebook the other night that the song just kept coming to me. I'm like, what does this Cat Stevens song keep coming to me for? You know, I'm trying to rebuke it. You ever get these songs like 60s or 70s or 80s, and you know, it's a music, it starts playing. Morning has broken. I'm just like, okay, you know, I know that guy, you know, he became a Buddhist, but why does that song keep coming to me? And usually when songs come to me, I try to change the lyrics, and you know, because the tune sometimes is a catchy tune. I was like, I'm gonna look it up. It's a hymn of the church. I had no idea that it was a hymn of the church, you know, released in 1931 with a Scottish folk somehow tuned to it. And I'm just like, Lord, You were just letting me know that there is something I can worship You and praise You with, of something that I heard back in the 70s. You're bringing up to my remembrance now that there's a new dawn, that there's a morning breaking. And the hymn, the entire hymn is about after winter comes spring and a new recreation is going to take place. And what the Lord has been speaking even to my heart concerning that hymn of the church, that there's been a lot of people in time of darkness, in time of loss, in time of uncertainty during this COVID season. And there's a recreation. There's a rebirth. There is something new that God is wanting to dawn with inside of us, a new ray of truth, a new song that the bird sings in the morning, that he's wanting a new song to come to you. As I go out every morning and usually take my dog out most mornings, right out there as the sun's coming up, or even at times before the sun's coming up. And we've just had three finches now, and they just make this little chirping sound. We had these three beautiful finches that have just come onto our property, and they've been there for the last month. I get to go out there every morning and hear their little cheep, cheep, their little chirping, or their own unique little sound that they make as they're looking for their worms or whatever it is that they're eating there. And I get different birds in the morning, even at night when I took my dog out last night and listening to the crickets and the different. At times we just go outside and we don't listen to the voices that are there that have been provided by God in nature. And to realize, you know, Lord, that there is a dawning that's taking place. There is a revelation of truth that You're bringing back to Your church right now. There is a new song that You have for us each and every day, Lord God. And there's something that You're wanting to encourage each person, each heart, each life, all the time. And as night comes and there's a morning, that God has a revelation of truth. When that first beam of that sun comes over the horizon, there's a truth that He has for your life. There's a song that He has that He wants your life to receive. There's a presence of Himself that He wants you to acknowledge. And I've been finding myself just looking at nature, and just dwelling on nature and entering into the presence of God and acknowledging Him. And just finding myself being lost, what I mean lost, without time. It seems like time is just absent when I find myself drawing near to Him. It's absolutely beautiful. And there are so many people in the church, they don't understand this. They don't understand this wonderful union that Jesus is here. Sometimes, as I was thinking about this, sometimes we try to occupy ourselves by going to YouTube and putting on a preacher we like to hear, or going to a familiar Christian TV station and just letting that play. That's not worshiping the Lord. That's hearing a message. Now, from that message, you can get something. But God's a person, and He wants to dialogue. He wants to speak. He wants to make Himself known. And as a father, He wants to be a father. And He wants to communicate. And He wants to be that very real to you. But at times, we become so Christianized, we'd rather just put something on and just satisfy ourselves with a look like David Wilkerson. Oh, I'm going to put on a David Wilkerson message. Well, that's wonderful. David Wilkerson, he had all these wonderful messages. We have all these DVDs and CDs, and I can listen to any message I want to on the internet. And that's nice. But God just doesn't want us to get secondhand information. There's truths and things that only you're going to be able to receive when you purpose to enter in. When you purpose to get alone with Him, when you purpose to begin acknowledging Him. And I don't care if at first when you start doing something like this that you hear spiritual crickets. Lord! And you sound, it's like the Grand Canyon. Lord, Lord, Lord. But eventually the response, yes, 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 will come back. Okay? He will respond. He does respond. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open to you. Will be, will be, will be. You've got to become a will-be Christian. You've got to have this knowledge on the inside of you that when the Word of God says something, God will respond. Right here, this passage, most of us know, in Matthew chapter 6. And why do you think that I'm closing out the year like this? Because I believe in 2021 that each of us are going to be needing to hear the Lord a whole lot more clear. But it needs to be developed now. You need to be practicing what I call practicing the presence of God now. You can practice the presence of God. What do you mean practice it? Yeah. Are you like exercising or learning to play an instrument? Well, put it this way. How many here ever tried playing an instrument before? What did you sound like when you first tried? I remember when I first tried, and I did pretty good until I played reveille at 5:00 in the morning at the other side of the neighborhood. And when I came home, my dad had all these phone calls that I woke up all the neighbors. He took my trumpet and returned it. That was the end of my trumpet career. To some, it wasn't a beautiful, arousing morning song to awake to. But you know what was cool about it? They awoke. No matter how right or how wrong I played the song, and it did get their attention, and my parents did hear about it. Okay. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, when you pray, in verse 5, you shall not be like the hypocrites or like the pretenders. And we have to be careful that we're not pretenders in church. A pretender is someone acting something out, is carrying out something for the sake of others. It's not because that they're praying because they're really connecting with God. It's for the sake of others seeing them, of hearing them. Or appearing to others that they're religious or spiritual. And at times we can do this in church, and at times we can do this at home. Even when we're like when we're married to someone, to our spouse, that we can even actually pray, not really praying to God. We just want our spouse to, you know, we're just letting them know that we're praying so they'll think we're spiritual. Okay, we can find ourselves doing things like that. We have to be careful that this isn't a pretense. I'm not doing it to gain attention. You're not doing it to gain attention. I pray to enter in. I pray to dialogue with God and expect an answer back. And that's why he goes and he says, you know, don't be like the pretenders. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. What they wanted, they got. They got the acknowledgement. They got the credit of being a person that is recognized as a man, a woman of prayer because we've heard them pray. Whether they get any responses, that's a different thing. They got their reward. They wanted the recognition by other people that they were a praying people, but they were not a connecting with God praying people. Verse 6. But when you pray, when you dialogue with God, go into your room. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret or hidden. And your Father who sees in secret, or when you are hidden and closed in with Him, will reward you openly or display the response of that prayer in a manner that's undeniable. And see, how many of you know that even right now in a group of people that you can enter into a room? You can enter into a secret place, even right now. Even right now, as I'm speaking, if the Lord is ministering to you, is the Lord's touching something with inside your life, you can actually say, Lord, is there something that Mark is saying that you're ministering to me right now? You can enter into a secret place, even right now. Nobody knows it, nobody sees, but you are going to your Father who is hidden or unseen, and you're speaking to Him in the unseenness of your heart that nobody else knows about, and He says that He's going to respond in a way that's undeniable. Open means He's gonna, it's a clear showing or a clear response that He will give you. And He desires to do this. How many times have I sat listening to messages or communion and offering or people teaching, and I just, oh Lord, I was just thinking about this the other day. And You love me so much just to have something come forth. What is it? What is it that You're wanting me to grasp from this right now? What is it you're wanting me to know? Because I sense, Lord God, through this person speaking, they don't even realize, Lord, that they are being used by You as Your mouthpiece, Lord God, to speak to my heart. So I'm asking You, I'm talking to You. See, You can even do this even right now, right now. And He says that when you do this, that it says your Father who is in secret or is unseen at the present time will reward you in a way that's open. There'll be no doubt when He speaks and when He reveals His answer to you, because you're not doing it for show. You're doing it because you are talking to your Father sincerely, honestly, purposefully. And He sees the sincerity of your heart, the integrity of your being, that you're really wanting to connect with Him. And you're acknowledging a divine connection that's taking place right now to you. And you're acknowledging it. And He says, ah, that heart of faith, that type of faith I can reward. See, we're reminded. Here, I'm going to close with this right now, I think. I didn't finish with Isaiah, but I did get to speak from Isaiah 6, what I believe I needed to speak this morning. When I was thinking about a person walking with God, I was brought to Genesis chapter 5. I was brought with Enoch because it talks about Enoch walking with God. Okay? And it makes that statement, and it's even referred to in Hebrews chapter 11. And it makes this statement here in Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and begot sons and daughters. You've heard me say that there was something here about when Methuselah was born, something happened. Something happened. It seems like his birth created something within Enoch to draw close to God. And at times, if you've ever been to a birth or seen a birth, I remember when my son was born, I had went through all the different Lamaze classes. Here at St. Anthony's Hospital, they used to do them in the basement there. And I was in the military, I was in the Coast Guard at that time, and our son was to be born at MacDill Air Force Base. And I remember, all right, I'm going to be able to be there. And I had all the practice of cutting the going through like acting, they're going to cut the umbilical cord and just all the different, it was just absolutely beautiful, the childbirth classes that I went to. But then at the last moment, Christine went in and she was going to need a C-section. The water had broke and she wasn't dilating. And so I had to stand outside of the delivery room. So I could not be in there. But I could, he said, you can stand out there and listen to everything that I'm doing. And so I was able to sit there, stand outside there and listen. The guy was a soccer fan. He said he had on a sanitized Rowdy's hat. It said Rowdy's on it. very peculiar doctor, but that's okay. So our son was born cesarean section, and Christine had one of those epidurals, is that what you call it, where she was just paralyzed? You know, she got paralyzed, got a shot, and she was numb from here down. Well, her spinal fluid began leaking out, and so she had what they called spinal headaches. So she could not sit up, and she had to keep her head below level for 5 days. So I got to take leave, and guess who got to hold him and take care of him and feed him for the first 5 days of his life? And it was just absolutely so wonderful. There's something that happens to a person. There's something that transpires, and we get a taste of it here in one verse, that something happened with Enoch when Methuselah was born that he started walking with God. The miracle of life, the miracle of birth. I believe something supernatural transpired here that he was just living for 65 years. Let's say he lived 65 years. He was just going through life. What was it? I know. Was there something miraculous about that baby there, Harmony? Is there something special? Is there something that you have a greater God connection now? There's something happens. And it says that he began walking with God after Methuselah was born. And there's something miraculous that takes place, and God wants to bring something miraculous, an event. Like when I got born again, there's something miraculous that took place that I found myself even closer to God and hungering for more of God. Or when my son was born, I was a nominal Christian, and we need to really find a church now. I mean, you know, okay, it was the Presbyterian Church, and that's where he was baptized then, and I did, after a while there, I didn't agree with some of the stuff that they were doing. I said, we got to go back to Baptist. they drank, and I was an alcoholic, and that going to a church fellowship with an open bar is not good for an alcoholic, okay? So I said, we have to go to another church. Long story short, my life changed, and I started hungering more for the things of God. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch, verse 22, walked with God 300 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now we know that the Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that there was a translation that had taken place. There was something supernatural that he went with a walk one day with God, and he was gone. I mean, it's like he just disappeared into God's presence. You know, I find myself at times, and I think hopefully you find yourself at times, that when you walk with God, the person that you once were are no more. You're changed. And Bill walks with God, and he is no more the same Bill that he once was, because he's now walking with God. Carol walks with God. And because Carol walks with God, she's not the same person that she once was. She, the old Carol, is no more, because there's a life that is connected with God now. That we can experience a catching away, a translation. We can experience a new life even right now with God and be no more the same person. And there are some of you that need this in your life. There are areas that need to change in, and you need to begin walking with God, purposely walking with God, purposely talking with God, purposely dialoguing with God. As you read your Bible, that you speak to God as you're reading and studying. Lord, what is it you have for me? When I get together with brothers and sisters, is there something you're going to reveal of yourself, Lord God? When we're here right now, Lord, there's something you're trying to communicate. Lord, I want my heart to be open to your communication. Or what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, that he prayed for the church, and I pray for you and I pray for myself for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of his will. That we want something fresh. We want something new. We want something right now that he has for our life. We want a drawing near of himself. The glory Jesus said that he bestowed upon us, a manifestation of his person and of his glory and of his majesty, fresh upon our lives, so that when we leave here or when we go out into the world or when we're speaking to people, they can actually know that you have been in contact with God, and there's a sense of God's presence with you and on the words that you're speaking. There's just something different about your life. Even in the workplace, when we're saved, we work differently. I do work differently. When I was a Christian, now as a Christian, working in this world, I worked differently. And the way that you work and the way that you carry yourself and the way that you carry out your duties, you do it differently. And people see that you're different. I don't try. You know, like, I didn't walk around and work like this. It was just a demeanor. It was just a person. Walking with God and knowing that God was with me in the workplace, in the home environment, in whatever it is that I find myself doing, God's there. But at times, Enoch lived 65 years. We're just living at times. We're just walking through life. We know that there's a God, but we're not making purposeful contact with him as we should. And so what I would like to just end with is the Hebrews chapter 6, two verses. See, a lot of us quote Hebrews 11, 6, but we don't tie it to Hebrews 11, 5. Because Hebrews 11, 5 is the Enoch contact. that we need with Hebrews 11:6. And a lot of us will just quote Hebrews 11:6, which we can, but it's also good to have the connection. And I really, you know, there's just something about God wanting and God desiring to increase our faith, to develop our faith, to grow our faith in Him. Because it talks here how it really like pleases God. Faith in God and faith in His Word really pleases Him. Verse 5, by faith Enoch, and as most of you know, his name means to initiate. You know, when we look up words and we see the word initiate, I believe that he began initiating conversation with God. Methuselah was born, and all of a sudden things started coming out of his mouth, and he started realizing about who God was, and he began initiating a conversation with God. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death. And then, as most Bibles have, when it's a quote from the Old Testament, it's italicized. And mine's italicized from the rest of this. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his back to the regular writing now, the rest of the scripture. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. No, whoa, wait a second. Where did you read in Genesis 5 that he pleased God? Where are those words at? Those words aren't there. But because he walked with God and God took him, that was equating to pleasing God. Without the words pleasing God being in there, because he purposed to engage God in conversation, because he purposed to walk with God and dialogue with God and talk with God and God with him, we do have a portion of Enoch's conversations back and forth with God in the book of Jude. Most people know that there is what they call a book of Enoch, which I don't say to read it. I have read it. I read it like I would read another piece of literature. Okay? It's considered not inspired. The early church, they said, did read it, but we do have a portion of what Enoch's book in Jude. And it talks, it was so amazing because it says that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Seventh meaning what? Completion. And it's, isn't it amazing that in Jude, what they quote is the second coming of Jesus and how Jesus is going to come, or the wrap up of all things, the completion of all things. Let me just read that to you real quick in Jude. I just want to read to you a portion of what the Lord revealed to Enoch. And he says this. Verse 14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, about deceivers that he's talking about here, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him or spoken against God. And it's just telling that we are going to be returning with Jesus at some day in the future, and God is going to allow his corrective hand to come upon the earth at the visible second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. And isn't that amazing? He had this type of communication that just seven from Adam, that he was able to see the wrap-up of all things. Pretty powerful. And how did he get this? Walking and talking with God. Revelation was open to him. You need revelation in your life. You need to walk and talk with God. If you have questions, you ask. It says if you lack wisdom, if you don't understand something, it says let him ask of God. But make sure you ask in faith. Okay? Not double-minded, because you're like a wave of the sea, because a double-minded person receives nothing or gets no answer back from God, because they can't, is it me or is it God? Is it me or is it God? And they're teetering back and forth. But if you know when you go to God and ask something that he's going to respond, boom, you have that type of faith, God will respond. And that's how he responded to Enoch. And it says here that he had this type of relationship, and because he had this relationship with God, a walking, talking relationship with God, it was pleasing to God. And listen what it says here. Now you tie that to verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we know he had to begin by faith. He had to begin walking with God and talking with God and dialoguing with God by faith. You begin doing it with the promise of God's word that when you ask, you'll receive. When you seek, you find. When you knock, it's going to be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, find. And everyone who knocks, it will be open to him. Going with that type of belief that we can apply the scripture here by faith. By faith, I talk with God and I know that God answers. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Well, we're all here today. We know that God is. But do you believe that he is present? That he is. Okay? We know he exists. We know that is of God. But do you believe that he is? And he is present with you. And he is your father and desires to answer you and to commune with you. Do you believe that he is? When you communicate, do you believe that he is present listening? Do you believe he is an ever-present help in time of need? He is. And the moment you start acknowledging he is, then he is there. He's always here. We know he's there. But there's an acknowledgement that you have by faith. And it says that he loves that. Why do I say that he loves that? Because look what it goes on here. You believe that he is and that he is a rewarder, a benefactor to you, a rewarder, someone wanting to lavish upon you that which you are asking or even more than what you're asking. That he's a rewarder of those who diligently, purposely, wholeheartedly seek him. At the end of Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 20. There's this statement about prayer that the Apostle Paul makes that we all need to grab hold of. That he'll do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Yeah, to me, that's a good reward. That is just, you know, God's like, you ask, I'm just going to give you so much. Pastor Bill used to tell me years ago, you know, Mark, when sometimes you talk on a subject, you have this vast field out there of the subject. And you have to learn to take the portion of grass that the people need to hear instead of trying to feed them the whole field at one shot. I said, oh, I gave too much out today. Yeah. Yeah. I so loved my pastor with words of encouragement like that. And you might say, words of encouragement? Yes. Because as a seasoned Bible teacher, and as a person who walked with God many years, they impart truth to you to help you grow spiritually. And I hope that in some measure today, there's been some truth imparted to you for you to grow spiritually today. And to partake of what the Lord wants you to partake of. And understand that even by faith, that there is a praise to the Lord that we can have on our lips. That there is a hallelujah Jesus that we can always have, that even that after I'm done talking to him, I'll just say, Lord, I just thank you, and I just praise you. I just know that you're present here, and I just know that you answer, Lord God, and you've heard me, and you're going to respond. And even then, I have to learn at times to shut up. And just know, I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to just be still in your presence right now and expect your ministry. Because I've just been speaking and ministering to you and talking to you, and I just expect the counsel of yourself to come and counsel your son and to love your son and to speak to your son at this present time. Do you pray like that? Do you talk to God like that? Do you believe that you're worthy enough by the blood of Jesus to acknowledge that you're a son or daughter, and after you've spent time with him in prayer, to say, you know, Father, I know you love me and you're going to answer. I know you're going to respond. Because you've made me acceptable in your sight. And because you love me as a father, you desire to communicate to me and answer me, Lord. Unworthy people won't pray that. A person who doesn't believe that they're in a state of righteousness with God will not believe that he wants to respond in such a personal way back to you. And he will. In his time, he will. He will. Last week, at the end of the service, I had some songs played. And then Christine played Raise a Hallelujah. I do like that song, but I went and found, I wanted a different version of the song. And so I went and found what they call the studio version. In other words, it's done in like a recording place, and it's more of a worshipful singing of it. I don't mind the kick off your shoes and twirl around. I love the live version also. And as I was closing up this morning and talking to the Lord, that at times we need to raise up praise the Lord to our King. I'm not going to say that. By faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. At times we just need to start saying, praise You, Lord. I've just talked with You and I know You're going to answer. I know that You're here right now, Lord God. I praise You right now that You're with Melissa as she's in the emergency room. I praise You, Lord God, that right now You're with Frank Stocks at home as he's listening to the message today. Or Anthony Henson at Bayfront Hospital as You continue to touch and heal his body. And as Pam has come here to church today and going through a mending healing process, I praise You, Lord, on behalf of my sister Pam and on behalf of my brothers and sisters here. Are You able to raise a hallelujah, not just for yourself, but on behalf of somebody else? Are You able to know that He is the Lord is and that He is King and He's King over people's lives? Maybe there's a person you know in your life that's not walking with the Lord. Are You able to raise a praise the Lord on their behalf? Are You able to have a spontaneous, Lord God, I just thank You right now and I praise You right now that Your desires for all people to come to be saved and come to know the knowledge of the truth. So I thank You for this individual right now. And I lift up a worship and praise to You on their behalf right now, Lord God. A lot of times, even as I mentioned in my message, that we do talk to the Lord personally about ourselves. But the Lord, it says that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession. So there's also a prayer that He wants you to pray, that He wants you to engage Him with on behalf of someone else. And then afterwards, Lord, I thank You that You've heard me. I think You're going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I've asked or thought concerning this prayer on this individual's behalf. I just thank You for the honor and for the ability of me being able to engage with You, Jesus, on behalf of this individual. And I just want to say, praise You, Lord. And that's what the word is in the Hebrew. Praise the Lord is hallelujah. Most of your Bibles, like in Psalm 150, when it says praise the Lord, there'll be a little T there. Or an L there, it says literal translation, just says hallelujah. And I want you to hear the studio version of this song this morning. So Father God, I just thank You for a word of encouragement to all of us that we can walk with You and Your presence with us, Lord God, and have an understanding that You are there with us, that You are right here, that You are, and we acknowledge You are. And so I would just like to thank You, Lord God, and raise up a praise You, Lord, to You this morning. Because You are high and lifted up. And You are seated on Your throne. And Your glory does fill the temple. Your robe fills the temple. Your glory fills our lives. And we just acknowledge Your glory. We acknowledge Your majesty. We acknowledge Your honor. And Jesus, You've honored us with Your glory. May we be able to live more to the glory and honor of Your glory and of Your majesty. Help us, Lord God, especially in the days that we are living, that we would be a people known. These are those who have walked with Jesus. So we thank You, Father. So listen to this song right now and go ahead and sing it. It is a little bit more of a toned down version, acoustic, keyboard. But I believe it will minister to you and encourage your heart as it encourages my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will be sharing a ministering word after this song.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelievers.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember in your storms and in the unbelief that you raise a word of truth, a promise of God. You raise it to the Lord Himself, who is high and lifted up, seated on His throne, and allow His glory to fill the temple of your life as you lift up your voices in praise and adoration to Him. So take this as a song that you can walk with, that no matter what you're facing, thank you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord. Even right now, if there's anybody needing any ministry right now, you just go before the Lord. Even right now, the Holy Spirit, He is a rewarder. He is here. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. We just acknowledge the is of yourself, the I am of yourself, even right now, Lord. To all present here, to all listening online, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're able, Lord God, to say hallelujah, no matter the circumstance or situation that we find ourselves in. Even a person here this morning in a place of despair, in a place of how much longer do I have to be here? That right now you can lift up a hallelujah. You choose to worship God and you thank God for the breath right now and the next breath and today's breath and tomorrow's breath, that we thank you, Lord God. Let everything that hath breath, hallelujah is what it says. Let everything that hath breath, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you've given us breath and we don't take that breath lightly, Lord God. And you want to use that breath. The Word of God says, Jesus, you are a life-giving spirit. And you want to give that life. You want to have that life-giving breath through us, Lord God. And so we choose even now, Lord, right now at this morning, at this time, we lift up our voice even to you right now, Lord God. What truth. What life-giving spirit, life-giving breath, words do you want to come out of us even right now? We just come against despair, uselessness, feeling like I'm just an appendage, just occupying time and space with no purpose. We come against that right now. It's from the devil in the name of Jesus. Anybody facing anything like that or experiencing something like that, we just call that broken over your life right now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Or the person who says, why do these things befall me? Why has this befallen me? Instead of looking at why is it has befallen you, Paul said that at times it's already happened. It's already occurred. You've got to let that go and look to Jesus. And so we do thank you, Lord God. If there is something you want to show to us, why things befall us, not to dwell in the past of the things that have befallen us, but to look to you, Lord God, as to why and how to get it stopped, if there is that root cause there. And so we thank you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord God. We praise you. We choose, Lord God, to look to you. We choose to lift up a voice in faith unto you, knowing that you do respond, Lord God. And there's a response, Lord God, taking place in a person's heart even right now, Lord. I thank you for your response, Lord. To the heart, Lord God, that needs it right now. Oh, that it may be, there's a knocking there. It's hard. There's areas that are hard. But one good thing about the Lord, when he knocks, cracks occur. Hallelujah. I'm seeing a little knocking hand of Jesus. I'm like, hallelujah. Bang. He knows how to take the hardness of every one of us and crack it. Break up that fallow ground right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and rain righteousness upon us, Lord God. Pour yourself, Lord, upon that individual even right now. Thank you, Lord God. We just loose your love. The presence of yourself even right now, Jesus. As you have encouraged me, Lord God, so much with the presence of yourself, in the presence of something that we'd rather not be present in. Whatever that enemy is, Lord God, that we're able to soar above that with you. We're able to mount up with wings as eagles. We're able to be lifted up as we wait upon you, Lord God, and be enraptured and entwined with you, Lord. That's a purposeful choice that we make, Lord. And we even do so right now, each of us right now. We choose to wait on you or look to you or to be enraptured with you, Lord God. Even right now, we choose to enter in. We choose to allow you to be who you say you are. Right now. Thank you, Lord, for the tangible presence of yourself. Praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the person even right now experiencing pain within their body. Whatever that pain is, it could be emotional pain, could be pain of trauma, it could be bodily pain. That there is one who bore stripes, who bore wounds, who bore the trauma on our behalf. That was pained on our behalf. So we could be relieved of it, healed of it. So we thank you, Lord God, even right now, for giving that person hope in the journey, hope in what they're facing. just provide something in that person's spirit right now. Even though that something else could even be radiating, even at this very moment. But there's something greater of yourself that is rising up with inside of them. That they can, sometimes, Lord God, as I have known, that even when tears are coming down the side of my face, I will say, thank you, Jesus. I choose to worship you. I choose to praise you. I choose, Lord God, by my spirit and with my soul to acknowledge you. Teach all of us, Lord God, how to do that. Not look that you're keeping something from us, but look to you as you have an open hand for us. Teach us, Lord God, to be a people who walk by faith, who walk with you, Lord God, and that you desire to reward children, your children, who come to you, even if the measure is so small. As you said, we just need a mustard size seed of faith, and that's enough. So we thank you, Father. You've given us all the measure of faith. We all have that measure as believers in you. Show us, Lord God, how to use the measure and increase it, Lord, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I heard a man recently say, when Jesus was correcting his disciples, he said, oh, you have little faith. In another place, he says, that's all you need. So was he rebuking them of their little faith? Or you have a little faith, that's all you need. I just thought it was an interesting perspective of how that person brought that teaching out. Oh, you have little faith. That's all you need. I was like, yeah. Oh, that encouraged me. Because sometimes it does feel little. It's just like, oh, it's all I got is a little bit. And Jesus is like, oh, it's all you need. It's all you need. Think of the plants that grow from small seeds. You ever seen a pine seed? Look at a pine tree and a pine seed. I mean, it's tiny. It almost looks like a pumpkin seed. But look at the great towering pine tree that grows from that small seed. Or an acorn. And look at the great oak. And God wants to take little truth, little revelations that he gives us, and grow it into something great and mighty of himself in your life. Amen. Be encouraged. I want all of you to be encouraged with the promise of his presence right now. And for you to learn to cultivate and have an Enoch, initiate, purpose to initiate, as Enoch means initiate walking with God, talking with God, expecting a response back from your Father who loves you. It's basically that simple. Enoch didn't have a Bible. He didn't have Paul. He didn't have Jesus. He didn't even have the law of Moses yet. But he could look around at creation. He could look around at the marvel of a birth of a child and get his heart set in the right direction to walk with God and have heaven opened up and have truth revealed to him about what's going to happen in the last days written down so we can even read it. And he had no Bible. But yet creation was God's Bible. The whole atmosphere was filled with the very presence of God, and he walked with God and knew God, and God loved it so much. Come on, it's time for you to take a walk. I like you, Enoch. Just come with me and be with me. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And we can have a life like that too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't want to take us like Enoch. I mean, he does. There's coming a time. But we're here for a reason, okay? We have still purpose here. Jesus said, you are my witnesses. You're witnesses unto me. What greater witness than to walk with the presence of God and people sense the presence of God in and on your life? Amen? Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening. This concludes another message from the Christian Service Center. May your life be blessed as you walk with Jesus as Lord. Blessings to all. Bye-bye.